ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP Chicago. Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thanks to our guest today, Chuck Garfine from White Sox Camp. Dan Plesac joins us tomorrow at 12:30. Look forward to talking to Zach,
that
man.
Guy?
Yurko booked Plesac.
I want $200, Randy.
How about that?
He's fantastic.
Yurko and the Sack Man texting.
If I start booking guests, I want $200 from my producer, like he wanted from me.
Well, that was for Zion Williams.
Spetta.
Thank you to Randy Merkin. That means wait.
Know your role, what we do here, each one of us.
Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black. Job well done today. Thank you to all the callers, all the Twitterers on how to beat the system if you've got Comcast and there's no agreement in place.
I'm cutting my cords, man.
Yeah, Yurko's going to cut the cord. I want to cut the cord. I really do.
I'm holding off on the umbilical cord, though. I'm going to keep that still intact.
I'm keeping the cable. I've got Hulu. Apple TV. I've got
you
Netflix.
America Online.
Well, we got it all, Carm. Smorgasbord of stuff.
I can't imagine what the bill is.
Do you know what my phone bill is?
500.
And this is with a 19% discount.
500.
A little north of that on a monthly basis.
Woo, boys, let me tell you, Crosstalk's brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC. Shop online at apbuickgmc.com or come visit in person at 364 West Grand Avenue in Elmhurst.
That's with unlimited data.
Well, that's important.
I hope so.
Well,
for $600 a month,
you get free Disney Plus then.
Do I?
Do you have Verizon?
No, I have AT&T.
Then you don't get
free Disney Plus. Right now, we get a free year of Disney Plus.
Okay.
Which is a nice little perk.
Which is,
Yeah, but my phone bill is $250 a month. You're right. I mean,
it's a lot of money.
It's ridiculous. But these young kids have that. They've got it wired, man. Stream.
My daughters know how to do it. None of my kids have cable.
It's amazing,
none of them.
Isn't it?
Yeah. None of them have cable.
Well, I'd hope now. You got enough boxes in the house as it is already with all those TVs.
Talking cable, right?
I'm talking cable.
Oh, I'm just saying. You know what, Carm? I mean, I got to check. I got to make sure. But yes, I have 13 of them in the
house. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you go upstairs, you want to watch TV, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
We're addicted to it.
Yes.
Although, especially our generation.
I don't want to have to talk to anybody.
Our generation's even worse.
You want to have to talk to somebody?
No, remember back in the day, you had the one family room TV. Lucky if you had a kitchen TV. You know, you had to get to a certain age till you got a TV in your own room.
That's right.
Somebody sent me a picture of remember the old cable box that had buttons on it that you had to, it was kind of like a rectangle, at least in Cincinnati. And you had to hit a button for like USA Today. It was like this box that had a cord that went into the television.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Well, the first one that we got, you guys were talking about this, right? When you first went from like six channels to 13 or whatever. Like the first thing that we ever got, and Yurko, you'll remember this because you're my age, is on TV. So it was a subscription-based movie channel where it was just a box, Waddle.
Oh, yeah.
And it said off,
and
then you turned it to the right, and then it was called on TV. It was...
That is great.
After hours, you got a little bit of a softcore porn.
Oh, yes,
Then there would be like a couple movies running every month.
Right, but we couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford
on
TV.
You didn't get on TV?
No. What we did was turn to the channel, and you'd get the big bar in the middle.
Right, and you had to unscramble it.
But no, if you sat there and you play with the antenna ears,
the rabbit ears,
with the little aluminum foil, next thing you know, you didn't get any sound, but boy, did you get pictures.
You got lucky.
You made your own sound.
Now there's 1,000 channels and everything's streamed, and I don't know what's up and what's down. I don't know. The Cubs will find them somewhere, I guess.
Will they be able, like I was asking these guys, why not an app? Isn't there an app where you don't need a provider and you could pay for the monthly app, $12, $10, whatever it is, and all you have to do is watch the games on your phone.
And just watch on your iPad or something.
Or watch, all their programming. I don't know.
Yeah, I think eventually I would be shocked if that wasn't the case. I mean, technology is changing so fast.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
So fast.
But it does sound like there are plenty of ways to circumvent
the system.
Are we
already on the board? No? I got suckered into making a soccer bet.
They wanted me to go in on the soccer bet.
They're playing UEFA Champions League games here? Would you play the total?
No, we've got Liverpool.
Well, I think they just scored.
No. The other team, the ATM did.
Oh, that's where I'm headed
next.
Madrid.
And I'm headed to the ATM after the game.
And who's their coach, Carm, for Atletico Madrid? You know
that guy.
He's the madman. Diego Simeone.
Diego Simeone.
Yeah. He is a madman on the sidelines.
I wouldn't have gotten that with 100 guesses.
He'll go after you.
What school with the Simeone?
Did you boys, really?
I don't know. Boston College.
We could have offsides here, gentlemen. This could go to VAR.
Are we going to send this to review?
This is going to VAR.
It's going to VAR.
This one will go to VAR.
Assisted replay. We are going to VAR.
It looks like four plays him onside, Van Dyke.
Oh, he's way off.
Yeah, you see it, though. Don't
Let's take that goal away, Merck.
We can't do live play-by-play, but they could take that goal away in theory.
I'm just talking in general.
Yesterday, I know you don't like soccer, Sylvain, but yesterday.
Not that I don't like it.
Chelsea, Manchester United played. Three times VAR came into play.
Wow.
Took away two goals for Chelsea, and one time you had a player kick another player, extend his leg into another player. Should have been a red card. They didn't call it. Both referees, Manchester ties.
Both born
in Manchester.
Well, how does that happen?
I don't know. But
both are stockholders in the Astros.
Things have hit the fan over in England. There's not a lot of happy Chelsea fans. A lot of talk over at Stamford Bridge.
How do you say conspiracy? What's the year?
It's a major
conspiracy.
Controversy.
Oh, good.
That's a major controversy.
Major.
And I know you guys hate soccer starting off at 2 o'clock.
I don't hate soccer.
We've got to talk about it.
By the way, you know,
Good goal. Okay, that's fine. We'll come back.
I saw my last children's travel soccer game in Houston on Sunday.
After 15 years,
no more travel soccer for the Waddle family.
You should join a traveling league.
No chance.
Do you still have any playing in college, Tom?
No. And this one will not play in college.
She doesn't want
to
play.
It's over. No, she's going
to
play high school.
Where's she?
Well, she's a sophomore. She doesn't know yet. Hopefully,
she's already sure she's not going to go play in college.
She's a 6 foot seven sophomore.
She's a 5 foot 7 sophomore.
Okay. Wonderful.
5 foot seven.
Wow.
So that's it. It's 15 years.
You get a little weepy?
It's a long time.
I did get a little weepy. Wait till you guys start traveling with your kids to different events
and
stuff.
Nobody's crying more than the club that relied on the Waddle money for that many years. They're the ones got tears in their eyes right now.
He's
got
to be happy to help pay for all those cable boxes.
And I paid my third daughter's last tuition payment yesterday.
Well, you're getting there,
buddy. It's been a really momentous 48 hours.
Gosh. And then in 2 days, it's Waddle's birthday.
That's right.
That is my birthday gift to myself.
You and Barkley. Right,
Tommy. Yeah. In what city do you get to support the third one in?
The fourth one?
No, the third one.
Oh, the third one is now in Nashville.
Final tuition payment. Yeah.
At school.
Don't worry, there'll be bills coming down the pipeline.
Oh, there's no doubt. She's got an interview today at 3, so
I noticed
maybe
the other day, my two boys decided they needed massages.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Core Essentials pops up on the card for a couple of massages.
Did they get the crown special?
I come back to the office. I go, you boys good? I said, you guys good?
You feel good?
Everybody feeling good? You guys get cupped today? Any cupping going on?
I tell
you. You guys feeling all right?
Did you ask if they got the Robert Kraft ending or no?
No, of course I did not.
Aaron Gordon, did you see how much he was cupped in the slam dunk competition?
Oh, yeah.
He had those Yurko marks all over his back.
Circles. Michael Phelps marks, I call them.
Does that really work?
You see why I'm standing the way I'm standing,
well,
baby?
You're sitting. And you're slumped over.
Better than I've ever been, Tommy.
And you're slumped over.
Go ahead. You got a knife in your hand. That's a pencil.
Right. Yeah,
did you hear Waddle stab himself on Friday?
No. He stabbed himself in the leg.
Okay.
He plexicoed himself. He drew blood.
I was sitting with a pen.
What are you doing over here?
Sitting like this. And this pen was like this.
Yeah.
And Gian Greco was sitting here. And I was just, you know, giving it the pen a twirl. And it flew out of my hands. And it went like this, guys. And I closed my legs really hard to catch it. Caught it. And it went through my pant leg and stuck me in the leg, and I had a bleeder.
Only that happens to Waddle.
Yeah.
Right?
That could have cut the...
You want to see it?
We detailed this.
Guys, that could have lacerated the femoral artery.
I mean, Waddle's taking his pants off now.
In the last 2 weeks, he stabbed himself with a pen. He fell down the stairs
fell down the stairs again.
He fell down the stairs in his own home.
In a drunken stupor?
Yeah.
Sylvia, you're getting a phone call.
Yeah. It's on have a vibrate. It's fine. You want it?
No,
you
just make it sure
for a couple seconds.
Yeah, is it Bronco or Buck? Who's calling?
Johnny, put it down the front of your pants.
He broke his nose in the basketball game.
So he broke his nose in the basketball game. He also, there was something else. He also had drunk hand scratches.
Yeah,
that's right. Scratches from those being intoxicated.
Those healed.
You're a mess.
I am.
I love
Hot
it.
Hot mess.
Well, then go
all
back.
Right. Dumpster fire, grease fire, all wrapped into one mess.
Today is National Wine Day.
So. Every day today is I did research on this, Carl. Let's distinguish between all the two. Today is National Wine Drinking Day.
Oh, okay.
Because in May 25th, it's National Wine Day.
Is that right?
Because my neighbor said this to me, and I said, I feel like it's National Wine Day like four times a year, which is cool. It should be more. But I believe they distinguish this as Wine Tasting Day.
Sylvie's right. National Drink Wine Day.
Okay, there it is.
In the U.S. So let's all do a review on Twitter tonight.
Right.
Drink some wine and do a little review.
Yeah, well, it's kind of watered down considering tomorrow's the same day for me.
This is brilliant. Do they do this on a Tuesday every year?
I don't know.
Is it the date or do they do it like the third Tuesday of February? Because like that's brilliant. Normally I would think a lot of people don't drink on a Tuesday.
Right.
But if you get people, I mean,
who are these people?
Well,
who are these people you're talking to?
People who sort of have it in control a little bit, Waddle.
Who?
You know, like on a Tuesday, I really don't get
my drink going. I turned 53 on Thursday. I've got very few years left. Yeah, if I want to drink on a Tuesday, I'm drinking on a Tuesday.
I'm not saying you shouldn't drink. I'm saying if there's a day on the week that most people don't drink, like what day is the least likely to drink?
Monday.
Right, Monday.
A Monday night football, though. I mean, during the football season.
But now it's not football, though.
I had a glass last night.
Mondays.
I had a glass of wine with dinner last night. I did.
I had a rum and Coke.
All right.
That's all right.
You know, to each their own.
I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm just saying that a Tuesday seems like a day
That's a purpose drink. What's going on? Because you don't just come home and go, you know what I'm going to have?
Yes, he does.
Really?
Well, listen.
I like rum and Coke, man.
I get it, but did you just pour yourself a rum and Coke and watch television, or did you go carouse?
No, rum and Coke and just relax.
Okay.
God bless you. Good kid is bound by nothing. He does what he wants.
That's a good point.
He's unfettered.
I watched a movie that nobody should ever have to watch in the history of their lives. Will Ferrell was in it. Juliet Louis-Dreyfus was in it. I saw Downhill.
You saw Downhill? It was bad?
Downhill. If you waste your time watching that movie, I thought it was all good.
Who's in Downhill?
It's Juliet Louis-Dreyfus
and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I finished watching the second half of Curb last
night. Oh, phenomenal. The Curb
last two episodes
it's been great. The last two episodes have been so good.
Waddle doesn't like the over-the-top episodes when they're like the Los Siento episode.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't
it
goes too over-the-top.
Me and my brothers have been walking around saying, Lo Siento. The visitation de Concepción Tartal. We've been walking around saying that nonstop. You mean the visitation de Concepción Tartal?
That was funny.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. Lo siento. It's been
a great year.
But the episode in Mexico.
That's the one I just watched last night. In Cabo. Yeah.
I mean, it was so
last
good.
Last night, the one this week was good, too.
Sunday's was very good.
Yeah, I haven't watched yet.
It has been an epic season of
Curb. We got to get Jeff Garlin on.
Yeah, it's been so good. All right, boys, what's coming up?
So we have Jason Kipnis, the newest cop, on at 2:30.
Oh.
Think about this. I mean, how weird is it that he was on that 2016 Indians team, the other side of things. The hero from that game is, of course, David Ross, one of the heroes.
Yes.
David Ross is now his manager. And then we'll find out if it's fact or fiction. Did Jason Kipnis really grow up as neighbors with Steve Bartman? Have you heard this story?
I don't think I've heard that.
I don't know if it's true or false. We'll ask him.
I mean, I could see that.
He went to GBN.
He was a local legend on the football field as well, I believe.
Football and soccer.
Bartman's more like my age, though, right? Kipnis got a little bit younger.
Kipnis was a sophomore or junior in high school during the 2003 Cubs season.
All right.
There's so much to talk about, and can he recapture what made him an all-star? He's a two-time all-star.
Well, Kipnis was a good player for a while,
Did Kipnis play on his Little League team? Remember? Bartman coached a little league team.
Maybe we'll ask him.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good, boys.
2:30 for Kipnis. We have John Hollinger, who used to be the vice president of basketball relations for the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies, yeah.
We'll ask him who are some of the names we should watch for the Bulls job.
All right. I like John, too.
He'll be really good.
All right, boys. Waddle and Sylvie are next. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so we have so much going on today. Jason Kipnis in 15 minutes from Cubs camp. Get your Would You Rather entries in right now. Use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. It's a Would You Rather Tuesday. Make them fun and creative. We'll give away a $50 gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. I was listening to Go Lickin' Wingo today. Cap, as usual, some good stuff from Jeff Pass and Waddle.
It was great. I listened to the whole interview. All of it was good. I find myself aligning with Jeff Passan's thoughts as well with regard to the Astros. Like, I've always felt that vacating this title was just kind of, what is that really going to accomplish? But I find myself drifting further and further to being open to it for a number of reasons.
Really?
Yeah, because there's, like, I thought the commissioner really whiffed. And by the way, did you see Fred call us out on Twitter today?
Is this about the piece of metal? Because John Lester just said some stuff about that, too.
Which is, the commissioner was ridiculous for that. I mean,
do we have that soundbite in context that we could play?
That was part of the interview with Ravi,
yes. And Passan said that was the only part that the commissioner really screwed up, and he screwed it up big. Passan said that he was on the other side of the room, and when he heard that, his antenna went up and said, oh, boy, you screwed that up badly.
Yeah. Look, I didn't realize that you couldn't punish the players, basically because of the ins and outs of the collective bargaining agreement, or, you know, on behalf of the Players Association, that they would have filed grievances, and it probably wouldn't have gone well for them. It was a really good article I read about how they could not, like, it felt like they didn't punish them, not just because they gave them amnesty, but because they realized it was a hurdle they couldn't clear.
Right.
That they could try to punish these guys via suspensions, but they would have been put on hold. The Players Association would file an appeal, and it was very unlikely that the punishment was going to stick. So they decided not even to go that route because they couldn't do it.
They said they would be tied up with grievances forever.
Yeah.
So they elected to do it this way to get the promise of the truth.
Yeah, I think I'm still kind of with the whole vacating of a title. I don't know that for me it has, you know, the teeth that it's intended to mean or have, but I get it now while people are doing it because it doesn't seem like there was any other recourse. Like, to me, with the benefit of hindsight, it would have been nice to suspend those players for a given period of time. But if you tell me that going back in time, you couldn't really do that.
Well, I heard Fitz bring this up on Golic and Wingo today. He said, if you went there and you didn't promise them immunity, you would promise them, you said, look, you have to testify. It's mandatory. If you don't, we will strip you of the World Series. So it's testify or the World Series gets stripped. And then you get sort of to the bottom.
Well, that's what we talked about yesterday, that's why they decided, because there was going to be no retribution in terms of a suspension or...
We find you guilty, you could be suspended like a month or several weeks. If you don't testify, we will strip you.
Yeah.
Like, the worst possible case, if you don't cooperate, is stripping of the World Series title. And maybe if you held that carrot or that punishment in front of them...
But then the players could have said to them, oh, really? Well, I'm not so sure you have enough evidence to convict without our cooperation. So let's go to bat with this.
Yeah.
But they didn't. I mean, it's dirty. It's nasty. I saw someone else, I think Andrew Marchand from what he works in New York, right? Isn't he the media critic?
Uh-huh.
I think he's, as he said, look, it feels awful and it feels like baseball's burning down. But the Mets are about to be sold for $2.6 billion. Baseball is going to get past this.
Well, I understand that, but isn't there the business side of baseball and there's the sport of baseball? We always talk about from a sports standpoint, from a rating standpoint, even though they kill it with their app and everything that they do streaming-wise, that they've got major problems. The only time baseball is a national topic in America, a national topic, is when it's either deep into the playoffs in the World Series or when there's controversy.
Right. So baseball's had trouble to begin with.
We could talk about football. You and I could talk about Tom Brady's free agency. We can talk about anything with football. We could talk about games with two other teams on a random Monday night. You can't do that with baseball. So, I mean, is baseball really, really good? I know from a selling standpoint, yes, the owners, the Wilpons, can get money for the Mets, but does that mean that baseball's successful these days?
Well, to the owners, yes. Yes. That's why. Why do you think Roger Goodell still has a job? Well, first of all, he knows where all the bodies
are. But how are we, but is that the way we should be measuring that?
Well, I'm not passing judgment on that. I'm not giving you an opinion on that. What I'm saying to you is I don't see them making a change. I hear a lot of people clamoring for the commissioner to resign. again, I don't know what he makes, probably excess of $10 million a year. I don't anticipate Rob Manfred deciding to step away unless the owners come together and say, hey, listen, you got to get out of here.
The first guy got on the elevator with me today, one of the guys who you know well. He works, I think, in the mailroom in our building with ABC here. He works for the entire company. He looked at me. First thing he said, turned to me, and he goes, you want to be Major League Baseball's commissioner? Because meaning, hey, I want the guy out. And it's what Cap tweeted yesterday. It's what Fred was alluding to. Like, people are just saying, and it goes to the topic of something that we brought up with Gene Greco. Like, Joe Maddon is like, can we just get over this? Can we let scabs heal? I'm starting to get to the point where I'm getting some tweets where I'm saying, guys, can we, you know, I'm tired of this topic. I feel like, as a sports fan and someone who works in this business, I feel like we're just scratching the surface. I mean, is it really, should we really turn the page on one of the biggest cheating scandals in American sports history?
They
won a World Series. Not only did they cheat, but we can see the tangible benefit from it.
Yeah, I think this has legs for a long time. I think it will start to dissipate when the regular season gets here and the Cubs start playing the St. Louis Cardinals and the Reds start playing the Pirates.
And yeah, like we'll you all said, go you're into not our local cocoon and worry about the White
well,
Sox.
That's right. That's what people do. I'm just suggesting to you that if Manfred leaves, it's not because he walks away in shame because of the decisions. He's going to walk away because the owners tell him to walk away.
Right. You know, like when we go into the NFL season, we say, okay, what are the top storylines going on in the NFL season? We'll say, hey, can Joe Burrow really translate with the Bengals as bad as they are in his rookie year? Tom Brady with the new Las Vegas Raiders, will he be able to keep the greatness going? Like, there are so many storylines and say, what are the storylines going on in the NFL? And we can go through the 32 teams and give you 80 different storylines. When we go through baseball, tell me nationally right now, what are the storylines in baseball?
Well, it starts with the Astros.
Right.
For sure.
The Astros cheating, and will there be retribution?
Yeah.
Will we see a downturn now that they're not cheating? Are the baseballs juiced? Are the number of home runs going to go down because the baseballs are different from last year? Will the game and the pace with these new rules, with relievers having to face multiple hitters now, will the pace increase? The point is, we don't go through, hey, or, you know, is Noah Syndergaard going to rebound? It's all about these problems with baseball, and are they really fixing? Do you know what I'm saying? So when Andrew Marchand says, yes, the Mets are selling for $2 billion, I don't think that baseball's in a good spot with the American sports
fan. His point was, it's not burning down. It's not burning down.
Financially with the rich guys.
Well, yes, but that's who runs the sport. I mean, people are going to watch. I'm going to watch Cubs and Sox baseball.
Right. Well, you think you are. Can you get them? I mean, that's going to be a...
Yes, I got Hulu. I got whatever they need. And the White Sox are on NBC Sports Chicago, so I can watch them. So I'll watch them. I mean, this is a national story, and it'll stay a national story. Some would argue, because baseball doesn't get a lot of the attention that you talk about, that even in this situation, that the bad publicity has people talking about baseball, something that hasn't happened in quite some time.
But we've been talking about baseball for years, about bad stuff. That's all we talk about with baseball, the pace of play, the nets going up, protecting their own fans.
And yet people still keep going and watching, and you still keep cheering for your team, and baseball continues to exist.
Right, locally. Again, it's a big... We don't talk about baseball nationally like we talk about the NBA or like we talk about the NFL. We've said that baseball has a fan problem for years. The average age keeps going up. New watchers aren't coming to the sport. In 50 years, will baseball even be around like we know it?
Well, I don't know if it's the way we know it, but I would argue that if the commissioner had vacated the Houston Astros title for 2017, it's not going to make you watch Cubs baseball anymore. What it is, it's a regional, provincial sport.
Right.
And what happens to the Astro isn't going to change how I consume baseball. And that's the dynamic that they're dealing with right now.
Here's what John Lester said in regards to Rob Manfred's comment that, hey, after all, it's just a piece of metal. So if we vacate it, what are we doing? And Lester said, to me, that's somebody who's never played our game. We play for a reason. You play for that piece of metal. My computer just went off. I'm very proud of the three that I have. If that's the way he feels, he needs to take his name off the trophy.
That's a good point.
Because it's called the Commissioner's Trophy.
Absolutely. I agree with Passan. I think Passan made a great point. Of all the things that he said in the interview with Ravi, this is the one that's going to sting him most.
So 312-332-3776. Do you want this story to go away, or do you want to hear more about it and learn more about it? And do you want new punishments to be handed out? Because this is one of the largest cheating scandals we've ever seen in American sports history. Do you want the commissioner to be on the hot seat after the way he has handled this situation? And Jason Kipnis will give us his reaction. He's a two-time All-Star who's now with the Cubs, who I think is a guy who values the sport greatly. And we'll see what he thinks. And he battled the Astros for pennants. Jason Kipnis joins us in a couple minutes. Next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Continue to follow this MLB story, but both the Cubs and White Sox are in camp. Optimism flows for both of these teams very early, and it's going to feel spring-like in Chicago. The sun is shining today.
It's not like Arizona. Stays light longer as well.
Yes. Let's talk to a Chicago area native. He went to Glenbrook North. Jesse just texted me saying that Mount Rushmore on GBN for Glenbrook North is filling up. Jason Kipnis went to GBN, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline as he is now a Chicago Cub. Good to talk to you, Jason, for the first time on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so who's like atop the GBN power rankings? Ooh. Is it you? Is it Chris Collins? Is it John Shire? What about Jesse, Dave Revson?
Jesse?
I was going to ask, is Jesse putting himself up there before when I heard that?
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got Shire, Scott Sanderson's got to be up there.
Right.
I think you got some there's some swimmers. I want to say there's an Olympic swimmer or two that might be on there.
Nice. So how do you feel about wearing the Cub uniform?
I'm getting used to it. It's taking a little time, man. I've been put on the same uniform for over 10 years now, and finally get to put on a different one, and I almost feel like a rookie again, where I don't know anyone too well. I don't know where to go a lot of the times, but it's exciting. If there was a jersey that I could put on right now, it'd be this one.
Is it weird for you, too, in the same regard because of the history of 16?
Only for a little bit. There's always going to be that history there by the fact that we played against each other, and that was such a big part of both clubs' histories. It's not like it's brought up every day. It's really not even talked about. I think a lot of guys are more concerned about this season as the way they should be. And does that mean it won't come up here in the future? Probably not. But at the same time, I think it's they're respectful. They appreciate all that went on and the hard work from both sides.
You know, we've gotten the story so many times from some of your current teammates now about like what went on in that game seven. It's going to go down in history as one of the best baseball games ever played. And we've always heard the Cubs side of things during the 17-minute rain delay. You guys go into the clubhouse. What are you thinking at the start of the rain delay?
Not thrilled about it. Not thrilled that we had a lot of momentum going right there, and we got to kind of sit down for a second. We wanted to ride that wave a little bit more, and was hoping we could finish it out. I hope the rain could have held off a little bit longer. But I don't think we had a big old team meeting from what I hear like the Cubs did. We didn't have a circle up and let's talk about it. I think guys were feeling good. Guys were staying loose and getting in the cage and locked in. There wasn't much that needed to be said at the time.
One of the key components to that Cubs team in that year was your manager now. How has the very short David Ross experience been for you so far?
You know what? I think he's doing awesome so far, actually. I think he's really holding his own. And I don't think they're wrong. I think this guy was built for this. You could tell that he's very passionate about what he's doing right now. And He's got a lot to give this game still, and I think that's what he's realizing, and I think he's going to do pretty damn well as a manager.
Jason Kipnis joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So when people look at you, and you're a two-time All-Star, you played in a World Series, when they say, what does Jason Kipnis have left, what do you respond with?
A lot. I think there's a lot that I could bring this team and to this game. I think I've been around winning teams. I've been around losing teams. I know what both sides look like. I know what needs to be kind of part of your daily routine as a team that you got to lock in. I know what needs to get done each time. And my body feels good. I know when I'm right that I'm one of the better second basemen in the league. It's just about being right and for over a course of the long season, though. But I still got a lot left in the tank.
I was going to say to you, as you get older, how much more aware are you about being healthy and making sure that injuries are something that you take care of and that they don't affect you as you play?
Oh, absolutely. You definitely become more in tune with your body. I think you have to be. You start to work a little bit smarter and not harder. You realize what requires your time a little bit more. You pay a little bit more attention to what you're putting into your body. And I think as you get older, you realize that there's the prep leading up to the game might be just as important. So I think you got to get your body in the best position to succeed. And it becomes a little bit harder and takes a little bit more time the older you get, but it's just part of the gig.
Something that makes you great is the work that you put in and the grinder mentality. Do you need to step off the gas when your body's barking at you?
I think so. I don't think this is something that, especially this early on in spring, you want to. Yes, you're trying to make a good first impression. Yes, you're trying to win a spot. You're trying to win a position. But I don't think it's going to be done on day two of spring training. I think I know that well. This definitely is going to be a marathon. And you know what? If you got some bad swings that day and you want to not go to bed feeling that way, you go into the cage. If you got some good swings and you want to feel more of that, you go into the cage. But if you're not and you're happy with the work you've got done, there's nothing wrong in taking some days and just taking it on in.
Jason, as a veteran in this sport, I'm sure you have strong feelings about what has transpired with regard to the Astros. How would you summarize your feelings?
It's gotten a little bit worse as it's gone on. I think we were just talking about it in the Cubs after. I think at first I was like in one ear, out the other. I didn't give it too much time and effort and thought. And I think the more that I sit down and actually think about what was going on and how this has all played out, you're going to see a lot of guys that just really aren't happy with the way things were handled, really aren't happy with the organization. It's not just – listen, guys give signs. That's not what happened here. It was a little different than that. Is when you use technology and when you're banging on crap that gives it right away right before the pitch, it's just different. That's not giving signs and part of the game. It's just – and then you go back and kind of – you look at maybe how smug some of these Astro players were throughout all their interviews and
right.
The time playing, and that's when you really start to rub you the wrong way, and now they get away with it. I mean, there's nothing that can be done. I'm not expecting an apology or anything like that, but they get away with it, and now guys can't even pitch inside either, and it's just like you just start to question, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and maybe this is a difficult question for you to answer, but from your perspective, a veteran player's perspective, what would have been an acceptable punishment from the commissioner's office that may alleviate some of that tension that you're talking about with regard to how other players around the league feel about this?
Liz, I'm not going to try to tell him that I don't think he has a hard job right here, because he does have a hard time in trying to appease a bunch of people and find the right punishment, this commissioner.
Right.
Because if you punish the future teams, the Astros, let's say you take away the playoffs from them for the next year or two, something like that, you're hurting guys who are coming to the Astros that weren't even part of it, or guys that had left the team already. They're not being punished. So how do you punish the ones that were already there? And you got to find this happy medium, and I don't know.
Right.
I wish it would just been more, and I wish immunity wasn't given immediately to the players, because they just come away unscathed and, like, it's really hard to tell who's sincere in their apologies. And even if they are sincere, okay, then what? They still get the ring and they still go to bed at night world champions, and there's not much we can do about it.
Jason Kipnis joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So is that what ticked you off most? You alluded to the smugness of the apology. If they would have stood up there the first day of spring and say, we screwed up, I understand why everyone's going to question us going forward. You have that right to do that. we really aren't happy with what went on in the past, and we benefited from it. Do you think that's the story would have went away quicker?
I think it would have been a much better starting place. I don't think what Correa's come out and said and done, I'd like starting to point fingers back at people and saying, oh, this guy didn't cheat or we stopped in the World Series. Listen, I played this game long enough. If you did it in the ALCS and the DS, you did it in the World Series. You didn't just stop when you got to the biggest stage. You're probably firing on all cylinders by the time you got there with everything. And I just don't think he realizes that, okay, let's say Altuve didn't do it. The guys who are on base for him did. Or the guys that drove him in did. And I don't think he realizes how it does affect everything. And it's just a bad look for the game. And I hope they realize it. I just don't think they will.
I asked Mark Grace this question last Friday. It said, Mark, you were a 303 career hitter. If you knew which pitch was coming every time the pitcher threw it, what would your career average be? And he responded, 450. Is it that much easier, Kip, is it that much easier knowing? I mean, is that not far off?
It's not too far off. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say you're guaranteed a hit. I've missed on a lot of 2-0 fastballs when I thought fastball was coming. 3-1. There's times I more likely than not knew a pitch was coming and still fouled it off or maybe hit it right at someone. But it is such a distinct advantage to know what pitch is coming and to be on time to where these guys, because every pitch means so much, where you go from a 1-1 count. Now you spit on this nasty slider that normally you'd swing at, and now you're in a 2-1 hitter's advantage instead of being down 1-2, and the numbers are very drastic. So there's a lot of things that go into play on why it helps you so much of just being on time with what's coming.
The Red Sox are being investigated as well, but would you be shocked? Did you have suspicions that other teams around Major League Baseball may have been playing dirty and fast with those rules as well?
You're going to hear that most teams do it, and I'm not going to agree with that. I could say Cleveland, we never did it. I think we tried to, in the sense that we tried to pick up signs the right way. We tried to look in from second base, get
without
in, and then you relay it.
Yeah.
And I think, because that also gives the defense a time to, they can catch us trying to relay signs, and then they can mix it up. That's the cat and mouse game of the game.
Right.
That's part of the game. I don't think what the Astros did was part of the game.
All right, before we let you go, as we get to know you a little bit here, you may be a little young to remember Waddle when he played for the Bears.
Lifetime ago.
True or false on the Wikipedia page that you were a stud wide receiver in high school?
100% true.
All right. You were smart. You chose baseball, which is a safer and a more lucrative sport. Good job, Jason.
I played every sport I could get my hands on younger, whether it was soccer, football, basketball, everything. But I knew which one I was good at and which one I stopped growing real early on, and I haven't grown since, so I knew where I was going with it.
True or false, you scored over 40 goals in soccer your freshman year in high school?
True.
Wow. And true or false, you knew Steve Bartman?
False, in the sense that he was my sister's age. I think they rode the bus together. I was too young to ever know him personally or anything like that. I know he lived down the street a little bit, but so I'm going to say false. I don't know him personally.
So when I think you were a sophomore in 03, sophomore in high school, you see that happen with the Cubs. Is it right away a discussion in your family? We know that kid?
I don't know. I'm not even sure. I think, to be honest, I can't even really remember that playing out. I want to say with my sister and all them being away in college, they probably were talking about with my parents more than I ever understood what actually just happened.
You were focusing on football practice and other things. That was not on your mind.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably
not.
Well, it was great to talk, and hopefully we could do it again. And best of luck this spring, all right?
Thank you, gentlemen. Hopefully the first of many.
There you go.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Kipnis, really good guy to talk to. Went to Glenbrook North in Northbrook. That's in the northern suburbs. All right, your chance to win a Great Clips gift card. And we're now in the top 10 of all-time great bowls. I'll reveal number 10 coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hey,
no team has done before. History here in Milwaukee.
Presented by Great Clips. The countdown continues. Number 10.
Oliver Miller plays it. Here's Johnson. Johnson gets no, he could not get one. Knocked away by Graham. It's all over. The Chicago Bulls made it three straight NBA championships. Now, Horace Grant, a man who has struggled the last two games, comes up with the block to conclude matters.
Talk about the block. He did the last two things that mattered the most. He threw the pass back out to John Paxson for the shot. He gets that assist. He gets the block on that last shot attempt to preserve the victory.
There you go. We're up to number 10, Waddle. And, you know, it was draft night in 1987 when Jerry Krause had arguably his best draft. He traded Olden Polonese to get Scottie Pippen, and then he drafted Horace Grant. And Horace Grant is my number 10 overall Bull of all time. This is a guy who was perfect to play next to Michael and Scottie, the guys who were the glamour guys. Horace Grant didn't need shot attempts. Horace Grant didn't overly need a lot of love. He was the total Chicago guy. They always used to say about Horace Grant, he would bring his lunch bucket and the goggles, and he would go to work, and he just did what was needed to do to win basketball games. And he would average double-digit points. He would almost average double-digit rebounding. He would play great defense.
In seven seasons with the Bulls, he averaged 12.6 points per game and 8.6 rebounds per game. Pretty solid.
Listen to this shooting percentages. All right, his rookie year, he shot 50%, 52%, 52%, 55%, 58%. 51%, 53%. Those are those percentage shooting. He didn't shoot often, but he would get the offensive rebound. He put it back in. He had that little quarter baseline jumper that worked well for him. And I was really down when the Bulls lost him to Orlando. He became a hated figure then because he played on the Shaq and Penny Orlando team and then knocked the Bulls out, waved the towel after he eliminated the Bulls. And he's back with the Bulls now. Horace Grant was always one of those guys that was probably underappreciated. Not for me. I don't know. I mean, maybe Bulls fans would argue with where I put him. I put him ahead of Jimmy Butler. I put him ahead of Tony Kukoc. I put him ahead of Joakim Noah. This is a guy who really started the upward trending. I mean, sure, when Michael got there in 84, everything changed. But it wasn't until that draft night when they got Scottie and Horace. And they started.
And like Scottie, he doesn't believe any of the Bulls' current starters could start on anybody else's team as an ambassador for the team. Or what's his title for the team?
I think he's just an ambassador. Oh, okay. Scottie's like the assistant to the owner. Yes. Horace played in the celebrity game the other night. So
he's 54 years old. That's quite an accomplishment.
That was his number two, number 54 from Clemson. He was great. Do you remember his twin brother's name?
Harvey
Grant?
Yeah. And his nephew plays.
Jaren Grant.
Good player.
Who used to play for the...
He's not an all-star, but... Yeah.
So right now, let's give away a gift card to our friends, and Waddle talks about them often at Great Clips. Caller number 20. You have a chance to win a $50 gift card. Do Great Clips, and you'll be entered for a chance to win Bulls tickets. Great Clips, salon quality hair care at down-to-earth prices. Go to greatclips.com to find one of their over 150 Chicagoland locations. Download the online check-in app to avoid the wait. Great Clips, it's going to be great. I think it would be a good debate. Where was Kukoc on my list? Was he 11?
Right, you had him as 11th.
So, I mean, I think that's a good debate. If I would do a poll question on you, which Bull would you rather have? Horace Grant or Tony Kukoc? You know, Horace was more of the dirty worker, and they had a tough time replacing him because it wasn't until Rodman got there who could fill the power forward spot and rebound the basketball until the Bulls started winning again when Michael came back.
Would you agree? I always thought of Horace Grant as the third best player on the championship, the first three-peat. Do you agree with that? Is that pretty
The third best play, whether it was Cartwright or BJ or Craig Hodges.
Grant was clearly the third best after.
Yes, and so, most important into the building up and the defense that this team was able to play in that old school way of playing in the NBA that Horace Grant was vital.
Yeah, so I don't think you need to, you know, I mean, people might quibble with it, but I don't think you really need to apologize for the fact that he's 10th.
I always had, and then those first three championships, you know, I wanted that championship so badly, and Horace was great. I always loved Horace Grant, and still do. So we'll give that away. Also, does really changing the manager mean more wins? We'll discuss that, and is the old manager getting ripped too much? 2 minutes away for that discussion next.